Hola, hello, hi, bienvenido, and welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. Super excited to be having another one of our entrepreneurial thinker conversations today, again, across here in Los Angeles, visiting with our friend Courtney Cole. Courtney's a singer, songwriter, yoga instructor, and probably 27 other things that she'll tell us about as we get to know her a little bit more, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. So Courtney's a musical talent who brings her fans along in a really unique way on her life journey through her soulful music and social media presence. She hails from the New Orleans area in Louisiana, and her odyssey into the music industry began in the heart of Nashville during her college years, leading to early acclaim from very popular magazines and publications like Rolling Stone and Huffington Post that we've all heard of. Over the past decade, Courtney's ascended the industry ranks, scaling heights at a record label, touring alongside icons like Miranda Lambert, Kenny Chesney, Kane Brown, and amassing millions of streams across her diverse repertoire and growing audience. In 2017, Courtney moved to Southern California, and her journey of resilience and evolution manifested itself in the 2020 release of her Earthquake EP, which was a diary chronicling her emotional and spiritual journey, which I want to talk more about that as we get into this, because what a time to release a diary of one's emotional and spiritual journey when we were all going through the pandemic. In this new phase of her career, Courtney's embraced a higher purpose. She's recently taken a life-changing trip to India. She's recorded music in a very specific tuning of 528 hertz, which I don't know even what that means, but she's going to tell us about that. But I do know that why she's doing it, is she says, is because she aspires to create art that not only entertains, but literally uses sound to help people to heal emotionally and energetically. Choosing joy always amidst the pain, love amidst the uncertainty, she invites our listeners today and all her listeners of her music on a journey of self-discovery. Courtney is, as I would say, not just a singer, songwriter, performer, but she's really a catalyst for positive change through her art. So welcome to my friend Courtney Cole. Courtney, hi.
That was such a nice little intro. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here. I'm super excited to just talk with you and finally get to meet you sort of face to face.
We're gonna count, I count Zooms and all that stuff as in real life, even though it's not in person.
I know. What a time to be alive.
Right. This is real life. I mean, this is not fake life. We're actually existing in our little technical bubbles. But I'm here in Los Feliz in kind of central Los Angeles, here down in Venice by the beach. And we're going to have a conversation that's going to share all of your musical journey and any of your life experiences that you want to talk about to give some people some context. The premise for getting together today began as a kind of a side convo between us in DMs on Instagram. So you're super active on Instagram. You built like a huge audience of followers on all the different platforms, but you're very active on Instagram, very open and transparent about your life. And you posted something not too long ago. It was in like the last month or so. And it was this really like deep, heartfelt reflection about life and career, and your music was at the center of it. And what you couldn't have possibly known was I was watching it while I was literally having a cup of coffee by myself, kind of on the tail end of a half of a year of a deep reflection and introspection about my own life and my business. And it led us to this exchange because I thought the post was just awesome.
Thank you.
And that's just you sitting by the beach, just kind of like sharing your whole perspective on where things are at and where how they got there. But it led me to listen to you and think to myself, wow, she sounds just like all of the young founders and entrepreneurs that I mentor. She sounds just so much like myself in all the entrepreneurial experience that I've gone through, even though you were very specifically talking about like your life journey and your music. And it led to this question that I want us to kind of start out with today, which is this idea of, I think in today's society, I think in every industry, creatively, music, the arts, Hollywood, so to speak, where my daughter works and a bunch of friends work, technology industry, where I've spent most of my career, I think everybody is entrepreneurial today. And I feel like you're an entrepreneur as much as the entrepreneur who starts some kind of a tech company and raises a bunch of money from investors. So do you think that's true? And if you do think it's true, like why?
I do. I 100% think it's true. And I think it's true because I think this kind of generation that's kind of coming through here. We're all kind of getting tired of that 9-to-5, feeling almost like we're kind of a slave to our work, and really starting to move into the things that are really fulfilling for us and we're passionate about, and actually following that. I think for a really, really long time, in a lot of the generations before us, they didn't feel like they had that opportunity to be able to do that. They like they had to, it had to look a certain way to provide for their families, or, you know, and then as the generations moved forward, children started to see their parents and how unhappy they were and just miserable they were trying to provide for their families. And so I think we're starting to step into this generation where people are just wanting to do the things that make them happy. And I think a lot of times that doesn't just look like one thing. Yeah. You know, I think in the past it has looked like that. Like you had to be a lawyer, or you had to be a doctor, or you had to just pick one thing. And I think right now we're starting to embrace the fact that you can actually be a lot of different things and be really happy and fulfilled doing a lot of different things. And for me, that's such a breath of fresh air, because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a singer, songwriter. I wanted to be an actress. I had this weird phase in my life where I wanted to just check people in at a hotel.
Okay.
And I just like, I had all the, like I used to set up this, I just remembered this memory. Like I used to set up my little piano bench at the front of my house in this little foyer we had. And everybody that would walk into my house, I would check them in to
You're like my friend Sarah, the concierge here in town. You can follow her on social media too. Ask a concierge.
Exactly. It's like there's so many things that I think when you're a kid, you get to experiment with and play with. And it's not just one thing. There's so many different things that brought us joy. And I think a lot of people are stepping into that again. And to me, it's very freeing.
That's awesome. Curious question. So when you entered, we're going to come back and talk about your family and some kind of deeper stuff to tie all this together, but just made me think of a question. Like when you started in the music industry, did you think to yourself like, okay, cool. Like I go there and I sign a record, and I'm just making this up. I don't even know how it works. You're going to explain this to all of us, right? I sign a record deal and that's like getting a job. Like, and now they take care of it all. Or did you know it like already instinctively that like the minute you started in the field that it was, oh shoot, like this is all on me. Like I have to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah. I think maybe a little bit of both. You know, it goes back to the being, you know, an artist like this was one of those childhood dreams of mine. Another thing I used to always do was get my babysitters when they would come over to watch me. I'd get them to pull me around from room to room in a blanket, and I would get out in each room and sing. That was always like I was on tour, you know, I would sing for my stuffed animals. So that was one of my things. And, you know, I always thought that that was just something that was going to kind of like, oh yeah, that just makes sense. It'll just come. Okay. It was probably my junior year of college. I was studying music there at Belmont University in Nashville when I realized, oh shoot, it's not just gonna come to me. And so I just remember feeling this feeling of panic of like, I'm gonna graduate in a year and what am I gonna do? Like, there's no like set path in the music industry. It's not like being a doctor or whatever, where you can just, there's kind of like steps that you follow. It's not like that. It's kind of like luck of the draw. Good luck to you. Like graduate college and all the best to you, you know? Yeah. So I started to feel that pressure, and I started to see that, oh, I'm going to have to really work for this, which I knew, but like it was real at this point.
Sure.
So I started to message everybody and their brother on MySpace at the time. That kind of dates me, and didn't get a lot of response back. I was messaging huge songwriters and, you know, smaller songwriters, everybody, seeing if I could at least get a conversation, a coffee with somebody to figure out like what's next for me. And this one man, bless his soul, I will always be indebted to him, responded back and was like, hey, let's get coffee. And he was quite older than me. And I was a little nervous. I'm sitting here going like, is this a good idea?
Right.
You know, I meet him and he ends up being this lovely person. And he's like, hey, are you looking for an internship? He's like, I just signed a deal at this record label down the street, a songwriting deal. And the publisher's looking for an intern. And I was like, I wasn't, but now I am, like, sure. Right. So he was like, hey, well, get in my van. And I'll, he literally said this. He's like, well,
this is where it sounds like it could go sideways really quick. But
he was like, well, get in my van and I'll take you down there and you can meet him. And against my best judgment, I did it, you know, which I don't recommend. If you're listening to this, don't do that.
Don't get in the stranger's van.
Never do that. But it worked out well for me. He did not end up kidnapping me. He took me down there. I trusted him. He was a very nice guy. Took me down to the publishing company. I got hired on the spot.
Boom.
And it was from there that I started to really just study songwriting. And I started to have a lot of conversations with people in the industry and just started, I would work my internship. They ended up hiring me. So I ended up working the front desk there from like 9 to 5. I would stay after and I would work from 5 to whenever. And I would just write songs. So I was listening to songs and I was really paying attention to songwriters who were turning in songs. And I was listening to the structure. I was listening to how they would write. And then I would stay afterwards and I would try and do that myself. So it was really honing my craft at that time. And it was because of that honing period that they ended up coming to me years down the road, a couple of years, I would say, down the road and saying, hey, what if we signed you to a publishing deal with us? And that's where everything started. And I had to work a lot of odd jobs in that company to kind of get there. But that was my foot in the door.
Right.
And I think in the music industry, you're always looking for that foot in the door.
Yeah. It seems to be commonplace across the creative industries. Right. I mean, like if you were to listen to on a prior episode, if you were listening to Natasha Chandel tell her story from like an actor writer standpoint, my daughter's own story is a television writer here in LA, like same kind of like get your foot in the door as an assistant, work your way up.
You have to do it.
So it sounds pretty common in the music industry that like at that label that you were interning at, like they know that a lot of or most of the people that are working like the entry level or mid level jobs are aspiring to be performers or aspiring to be. So like it's not, they kind of know the people that are like, hey, they want to just work here, or here's someone who's working at the front desk, but she wants to be a singer-songwriter.
You have to kind of keep that on the DL.
Okay. Interesting.
Because I think a lot of people know that people like that could take advantage.
Sure.
Like it's not necessarily, You have to show up at that company going, hey, I'm going to serve this company at my full potential and not just like because I want something from this. And,
Right. You
know, because I think they can smell that from a mile away. And that's what I just decided to do. I was like, I'm just going to show up here and do my best and kind of let that be in my mind and know that I'm going to use these tools to work toward, like to hone my stuff. But I can't let that be the forefront right here because they're hiring me to do a specific job and do it well. So yeah. I had to really kind of ride that line quite a bit.
No, yeah. But again, that's something to be proud of, like be good at your job while pursuing the other things that you aspire to.
Exactly.
All right. So you obviously like almost at birth knew you were like creative, right? Like you're getting swept around the house on your blankets, singing to your stuffed animals as a baby. And then you're obviously in tune enough with it that as a high school person, you're like, okay, I want to go to college and study music. Like I want to further this. I want to pursue this. So you put yourself in the way of opportunity by like continuing kind of down a pseudo traditional path, but the path was focused on the music, which is the non-traditional part. So I'm curious, like, were you the crazy person in the family that had all this super talent, or was this like a family full of creative people? Did you have like artistic, creative people around you when you were growing up?
No. I mean, my mom was like really into like art, like she liked to do like arts and crafts and stuff. And so I saw her, you know, she kind of would have little side businesses of like making these beautiful mosaics, or she would sell these like really cool stamps, and she eventually like opened her own little shop with, actually it was like her and two of her friends, and they would sell like arts and crafts stuff. So she was kind of in that, but not a singer or not an actress or anything. My dad always saw in me like the performer. And so he would get up on stage with me, like the first talent show I ever did. And he would like, we did lip singing together, and we did like Sunny and Cher's I Got You Babe together at our church talent show. And it was just me performing. And so he was always kind of like pushing me in that direction, and he would get up and do it with me. But I wouldn't say that it was a creative family. Interestingly enough, on my dad's side, kind of in that family line, there's a lot of musicians. And we found this old photo that came up. It's like this family photo of the Cole family band. And it was like from the early 1900s of them all with their upright basses. And yeah, it was really cool. I didn't know that until later on in life. So that was neat.
So there might be something too. There might be some in the DNA there.
Yeah, it came from somewhere.
Obviously, right? It all comes from somewhere. Right. And so on dad's side, we have some creative influences that maybe it skipped a generation or two.
Yeah.
Right. And it found its way into you. And then on your mom's side, like clearly entrepreneurial.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She wasn't building the next Walmart. Right. But she was literally taking something that was a hobby that brought her joy, and it manifested itself to such a degree that her and her friends got to the point where they're like, let's go open up a little store. I mean, that's as entrepreneurial as it gets. And you saw that, like, so you were exposed to that, even though it might not have registered with like 14 or 15 year old you. It was there. So all right. So you get the start literally like church talent shows or at school. Like that's literally how we got started. I mean, aside from with the babysitter
slipping
around the house.
Yeah, that's it. I was singing, you know, my mom was always getting me to sing, you know, I sang the national anthem at a lot of hockey games, a lot of sporting events. And then I did a lot of musical theater. I was like your full blown musical theater girl. And I actually went to a high school in the latter half of my high school years. I studied at a school in New Orleans. So I would do like regular high school for half of the day. And then I would commute over to New Orleans, and I lived like 20 miles from there. And would study at a creative arts high school and studied musical theater, and actually thought that I was going to go to college for that until last minute. Actually, the worship leader at my church was like, no, you need to be going and studying commercial music. And look, I found this school in Nashville.
Okay.
And I went to the last audition and ended up getting in. So went to Nashville.
Which again, and I'm not pigeonholing you into country, but at that time, right, country, like every young aspiring musician from the South who's into country music is like, let's go to Nashville, right?
Well, the funny story is, Rob, is that I actually used to make fun of country music. I'm embarrassed to say. I actually, no, it's funny. I didn't always like it growing up because my parents met two-stepping at a bar. And I was like, oh God, look at this music, you know, like, I didn't really love it. But then the artists like Faith Hill and Martina McBride and Shania Twain, like all these artists were coming out, that these strong, beautiful, like, you know, female artists, I'm like, they're amazing. And they always kind of straddled that pop line. And, you know, I always thought I wanted to be the next Celine Dion. So I wanted to be this pop diva. But once those artists started coming out, I was like, okay, all right, I see country music. And then I ended up going to Nashville, and I fell in love with the country music scene. I fell in love with the people, and I fell in love with the craft of songwriting. It was amazing, honestly.
That's awesome. All right, so you're doing this internship.
Yep.
Right. And you're now like, let's call it like learning the business. You're being exposed to it for sure. Right. And so, you know, to the average music fan or consumer of music, right, we go to a concert, we listen to music on Spotify. I don't even know, like, I'm about to date myself. I would have said like, we buy an album. Right. I mean, like we would go to record stores and like buy an album, right. Or a CD or something later in my 20s. So help the average consumer who's listening to the show understand kind of two things, like how you really started to understand like the commercial side of the music industry, and then give us a little sense, like how does the music industry work?
Oh, well, that's a question I think everybody's searching for probably in the music industry right now.
Because is it changing like dramatically?
Oh, it is changing dramatically, especially with streaming and now that AI is coming into the picture. And
so first part, like, yeah, like you, like, how did you start to go like, okay, wow, this is big business and I'm going to need to figure out this. I can't just write songs and be happy and somebody's going to give me money.
No, totally. Totally. Oh, God, wouldn't that be wonderful? No, but I think that I really working that internship and then getting hired on at that record label and working, like I worked as front desk girl, but I also worked as like a radio promo coordinator. I also was like an executive assistant. I got to see so many different facets of the music industry, which I am forever grateful for. And not to mention that I was working at this record label was new at the time. Okay. And I was able to see not only how like developing an artist works, which is different for every artist, because I think every artist is on their own journey. But I was also able to see kind of the inner workings of the country music industry, which is really different than it would be for probably pop or any, you know, other industries. But yeah, I started to kind of be able to get a framework of how if I needed to step out and do this on my own, how I could.
Because essentially the label you're working for was like kind of an equivalent to like a startup label.
It was. Yes.
Okay. So you're watching like, oh, this is how a record label gets built as a corporation, as a business.
I was going to school every day, Rob. I mean, it was just watching what worked, what didn't work. And yeah, it was through there too that I ended up meeting my manager. And she was a really, really big, my manager at the time, I no longer work with her, but she really helped me to kind of, once I saw all that, she kind of helped me put all the missing pieces together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, give us like super basics 101 level. Like what are the pieces like for a successful commercial? I'm going to keep using that word because you've used that word a few times, right? So for a successful commercial singer songwriter, like what are the key pieces that are required to like build a business around yourself?
Well, obviously you have to hone your craft. And you have to really want it. And I think that it's really hard to answer this question because everybody's going to hone their craft in different ways. And some people are going to lean toward in the direction of trying to fit in a box with, you know, what artists before them have come to do. And some are going to try and step out of that, you know, right away. And that looks really different. But really, I mean, obviously the music has to be good and it has to be something that you're constantly kind of creating. So I think like in Nashville for me, it was about really stepping into this, like being a part of the community and seeing like in Nashville, for instance, you wake up, have your breakfast, and around 10:30 or 11 a.m. every day, you step into a songwriting room and you write songs. With co-writers, you schedule, it's almost like a meeting, you know, and you schedule a write for like 4 hours. And then sometimes you schedule another write after that or whatever. There's like a system. And so you have to first hone your craft, but you also have to like plug yourself in the community and you build relationships. You find the people that you work well with, because sometimes you're going to bring ideas to certain people and the chemistry in the songwriting room is just not going to be the greatest and you're not going to get your best work with those people. So you have to figure out your crew, and that takes really being involved in the community, writing with everybody, really just kind of plugging yourself in and finding your crew. And then after that, once you can really figure out, that takes a long time, honestly, finding your sound, honing your craft, knowing exactly what you want and who you want to work with. And then it starts to, when you get to a certain level where you're playing shows and it makes sense, you can start, you know, building a team. But that comes later. You know, you have to really have, you have to have work for that team to do. And so right. I think it takes a lot on the front end here to really make that happen. Nowadays, social media is a really big part of that. I say fortunately and unfortunately. It's like there's the side of, you know, you watch artists, like growing up, I loved Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, all those big divas, and you see them and they had to have a label and they had to have that team to make anything work. And it's like now in today's age, you can hop on social media and you can build a right. following. You know, I'm really grateful for that. I can write a rap song one day and a country song the next day and just throw them up on Spotify and it doesn't matter. It's really cool. But at the same time, we're now entering into this time with like TikTok and all this, where it's like these 5-minute artists that kind of pop up and it's just not lasting, you know?
Yeah.
And right. honestly, for me, I really struggle with it because like I really want my music to, I want it to be different than just these little pieces of content that I just feel yeah. like I have to, you know? So I say fortunately and unfortunately.
Yours feels more, I don't know if this is the appropriate description, but like traditionally artistic, right?
Then say
just as you say, like, and not to put anybody down who is a content creator, right? Then just like doing it for content's sake.
Right. And I'm with you. It's not a bad thing where everybody's just doing what they need to do. I love the idea of really kind of building something a little bit more traditionally, I guess would be the word.
And more sustained or sustainable.
Yeah, a little more sustainable. Exactly.
That's interesting. It's interesting. You start, so in the technology world, right, we would say kind of the solo entrepreneur, right? The founder, the entrepreneur who has the idea and then starts building their thing. And maybe they find, you know, maybe they're non-technical person. So they find a technical person to partner with. And that kind of sounds like you're writing partnerships, right? And you build your little squad, but then you're like, you got to go find those first couple customers. You got to build things up before you actually can hire a team. And it's the same. You're out there hustling shows, playing at local things, at bars, at festivals, whatever. You're doing whatever you got to do. And then you've built a business around you to totally. A certain point where then there's, like you said, there's work for them to do. That's fascinating. It's also interesting to me. You've been in the music game for a while, right? And so it's interesting to me that you kind of entered at a place where you, when you were in school and when you were working at the label, you were learning kind of the traditional, let's call it, the way the industry used to work.
Yeah.
Right. And then having to hustle through the independent, self-propelling kind of efforts to get yourself to that level of like, okay, now this label will want to publish me or this manager will want to work with me. And kind of, again, the entrepreneurial, but still traditional industry ways. And now you're around long enough that you've had success in that space. And now you're weathering this transition of the entire industry to this other space.
Yes.
Where some, now all of a sudden, and I'm just, this is fun to say this out loud, you'll laugh me off the show, but like now all of a sudden, like you and Celine Dion aren't that different in a sense, because Celine's out there trying to figure out this new industry and the new way that it works just as much as you are. Although I would argue it may be easier for you to figure this out like in the next 10 years of your life than it will be for her, because she spent her entire career in the, I needed a machine around me to make me, me. I mean, obviously yeah. again, she's talented and we know that, but like to your point, like she had to have machinery around her to build up, to become, you know, Celine Incorporated. And you've kind of like, you've had commercial success and notoriety, but you're also young enough that like, you haven't spent 30 years doing it, right? And so now you're adapting.
Exactly. And you know, I'm really grateful because there is a freedom in it all. And whereas probably back in her day, there might not have been, you know, and it's more so you have to start with that team and just kind of, they're telling you what you need to do to be able to reach a certain level of success. And you're kind of maybe a bit of a slave to the label or whatever. Whereas now there's a lot more freedom to be able to kind of like move around and make decisions kind of how you want them to be, you know, things how you want them to be, which I'm really grateful for. It's really like a double-edged sword in some ways, but it's a very interesting transition, and I have a love-hate relationship for it, but it's
the love gets you through the moments when you hate it.
It does. I'm really embracing the freedom of it all, and especially recently. I feel like before I was really trying to box myself in a lot of ways, and I was really trying to follow everybody else's journey, and it started to box me in a way where I realized, like, oh my gosh, I don't even realize what I have. Like, we do have Instagram, we do have TikTok, we do have Spotify and some of these streaming services. And while they're not paying the artists and the songwriters probably as they should, as you know, as of now, there's a means to just be however creative you want to be and be as many different. You could have 7 different artist projects if you wanted to,
right?
You know, or you don't have to fit in genre really anymore, unless you're really seeking to be a pop artist, you know, but like you can release whatever you want to on your Spotify page, as an independent artist. And I just really love that because I have so many different styles of music that I love and things that are constantly inspiring me. My adventure to India has inspired me so deeply. And I really got into some of these beautiful like mantra songs. And so I'm combining that with some of my music today, and I can release that and it be fine.
And you don't have to, you don't have to like call and get somebody's permission.
No, exactly.
Whereas they might not let you do it because they're trying to turn you into the next whatever.
Exactly. There's a,
Or the next whomever.
So exactly.
So you get, but I also imagine, just a guess, like that commercial reality, right, in the marketplace that is your industry, probably just like art, technology or any other industry, they always want to say like, you're the next, right? Oh, you're the, you know, or I'm building a startup. Like, tell me about your startup. Oh, it's the Uber for whatever, right? That's a very popular way to describe things in the tech industry. And I suspect it's probably not that they're looking at you and you're like, oh, she's the next. And I'm just using names from your own life, like Miranda Lambert or Taylor Swift. Like,
exactly. She's
the, and you're like, no, I'm the first Courtney Cole.
Yeah. And I think in our industry, I'm sure in any industry, you can get really, really pigeonholed. But the thing that I started to see more so than anything is, you know, a lot of people might be listening to this or even look at me and say, you know, well, you have to pick something or you have to have a certain direction. And I'm like, but why? Like, for what? Like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like, if I'm trying to be the next like Selena Gomez, yeah, maybe I stick to a route that's more traditional pop, right? But my path is a little bit different and I have a little bit different goals and whatever. And so I'm just able to be open. And what artists, like, I feel like artists, you really start to latch onto an artist or a project or something when you acknowledge the energy as something different that you haven't seen before. And you're like, wow, like, I've never really thought about music the way that so-and-so has. Like, I really dig them because they're different than everybody else. So it's been in the last several years that I've really just been fully embracing my uniqueness and just what catches my ear and what feels really good to me and my spirit. And that doesn't lead me to burning out. Because if I follow the Selena Gomez path, I'll tell you, I will be burnt out in 2 weeks and I'm just not going to be enjoying what I'm doing.
Yeah. And then,
So, that's where I'm at, you know?
No, I love it. I've been listening. A few quick thoughts, I have a random question that has been in my head now. I guess it's been in my head my entire life and I didn't realize it until you just said something. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to ask her. But something you just said makes me think. I've been reading the book by Rick Rubin, the music producer, about being creative, right? And he's a crazy character. Like, that's one crazy cat, like, as they used to say. But he says a lot of things that I'm kind of like, well, yeah, you say that now because you're wildly successful and you have no pressures. But like, did you say that when you were 19 and you were hustling your first few acts to like represent them? But that aside, like, one of the things he talks about is this idea of like, as an artist, as a creator, like, create for the audience of one, like create something that you love. Right. So if you're a writer, create something that you love to read. If you're on video, if you're a musician, write a song or sing a song that you love don't worry about what the audience cares about. Like, don't worry about that. Like, and it's, he's a bit, again, he's a bit extreme with his long beard and his Zen vibe. But I respect that purity of purpose, right? That, and I just heard a little bit of that in you. It's kind of like, if I had to be the next Selena Gomez, like, I would eventually quickly get to a point where I would be forced to churn out creative work that I could. You could do that, but you'd be unsatisfied, and then eventually that would quickly lead to unhappy.
Yeah. You know, I think like with me, with like songwriting, to go kind of along with what he was saying, is like, if I write my story and I write my situation that's really real for me, the beautiful thing about the human experience is that we're all going through a lot of the same things, just kind of indifferent. They look, you know, the scenario might look a little different, but we're all feeling a lot of the similar things. Yeah. Right. And yeah, so that's the beauty of just that interwovenness of the human experience. And so if you're writing something that is emoting in a way that's just so honest, there's going to be so many people that relate to that. It's like whoever invented the Q-tip, whoever this guy is, you know, like, damn him, you know, like the Q-tip. But, you know, you think about it, it's like, he probably just created something that's like, oh, my ears feel disgusting. Maybe if I take this cotton ball and put it on a stick, this would help. And then he's like, oh yeah, this is amazing. Like, everybody needs this, you know, it's all the same thing. And it's just, when you can get real with yourself and you can find that need in you and then bring that out, you know, so many people are going to be able to go, oh yeah, I feel that way too. Or I need that too. Or that's the beauty of it all.
Great. I talk about human, like our buddy Yogi, I talk about human storytelling all the time. Right.
Yeah.
And I say, like, great human stories will always find an audience.
Yes. 100%.
Right? And so a song is just that. Okay. So here's this random question that's just bounced in my head. Are all singers songwriters? Are all songwriters singers?
Oh, interesting. And I personally am of this weird view that everybody can be a songwriter and everybody can be a singer.
Okay.
I really do. I believe that. But I'm not saying it has to necessarily sound good or be, all of that is relative, right? Like, we've kind of been conditioned to what sounds good and what is good enough, you know, but really, you know, all writing and all expression of your voice should be beautiful, in my opinion. Now, I know some people, and, you know, sound like they're croaking, whatever. Why can't that be beautiful? That's just my belief. But as far as our own standard, I've seen so many people in the industry who are not, like, I know Celine Dion did not write probably all of her songs.
That implies to me, like, so there are songwriters who wrote songs for her, and I've heard those stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have like your Diane Warrens.
Sometimes those songwriters are not like commercially public singers per se. No.
And sometimes they don't want to be.
They're just like, I'm a professional songwriter.
100%.
That was the root of it when I was digging at it. It's like, is there like the split where there are just people who are like, I love songwriting and I'm good at it. And oh yeah, by the way, I have found like professional success at that. And that's all I want to do. Matter of fact, being in front of like three people would scare the crap out of me. So let alone being in front of 3,000 or 30,000 people. I don't want to do that. I want somebody else to do that.
Totally. There's probably 100 people around you right now sitting there in Los Angeles, just in your little vicinity, that are probably incredible songwriters and who are just really happy with just being that, and hoping that, you know, Justin Bieber or somebody will cut their song.
Right.
You know,
right. And technically in this neighborhood in Los Feliz, I can guarantee you that at every coffee shop, there are hundreds of people who are literally writing screenplays and screenwriters. They are all writing their own versions of the future of the better television and movies that they want to see. Cause I see them every time I walk into my daughter's coffee shop. Let's talk about your journey. We hit on something in the intro that I didn't even catch, right? That you were in 2020, you released new music that was this more soulful, like, diary of your own journey. And I thought, I said it during the intro, like, wow, I mean, that was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about kind of from there, if you want, like take us through your chronology from there to you posting a few weeks ago and basically saying to your fan base, like your community, hey, hi, I think I'm about to go on another evolutionary trip in my creative journey.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I think that, so I released that EP in 2020, but I would say that that music started well before that. And I kind of trace my journey, my whole life, obviously all of our lives are a journey. But I really think that my journey got super interesting probably around the year 2012, when I just was starting to slowly starting to question everything that I had been taught, and just kind of a lot of beliefs and conditionings and all of the things. I was just really, really starting to question my religion, everything. And I grew up as a Christian in like the deep South. So it was, you know, very,
that's literally as South as it gets.
And so I just really started to question what I had been told and why I had been told these things and all of that. Anyway, it led me to, I was on a songwriting retreat, and it led me to these books that a songwriter friend of mine gave to me called The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. And it changed my perspective, because I'm a huge fan of like what I learned in from like my Christian days and the stories of Jesus. Talk about a storyteller and a guy that's lived an amazing story. Like, holy moly. And it started to bring a lot in perspective for me of just life and what life means and the unity of all things, and honestly, earth shattering to me. And I have this belief that once you start to experience like the unity energy of all things, and you really get down to that fundamental level of energy that's connecting us all, there can't be anything else but truth, vitality, and healing that comes from that. And when I just had a little bit of taste of that, everything started breaking down in my life. And I started having these dreams, one in particular that I ended up coming through probably in like 2014, where I really did experience that unity. I won't go into that, but I had this dream that was so profound. And it was coming after a whole series of really horrible nightmares of dealing with some things from childhood and processing things from all this stuff. So it was just like this really earth-shattering stuff that was happening. And what it did was, is it broke down my ego in so many ways. And after I had this one dream that you really, that where I experienced that unity, like in its fullness, everything shifted. And even with my career, like I noticed I wasn't really wanting some of the same things that I wanted. It, everything was shifting about why I was trying to be a star, which was all about fame and money and really just stroking my own ego. All as all of that started to shift, I started seeing my team and I started kind of shifting in our goals together, which ended up leading us to parting ways. And then literally in a 2-week period, I was opening, or I was playing main stage at Stagecoach, and this year, and, or it was like 2017, I guess at this point. And my team and I, everybody, I had lost every single person on my team. I had lost my songwriting deal. I had no income. And I was eating a spoonful of sunflower seed butter for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I had no money. And I was driving Uber, and everything shifted for me in that moment when I realized.
At the same time, sorry to interrupt you, at the same time, I'm on main stage at Stagecoach.
Yep.
Which for folks that are listening, if you don't know what Stagecoach is, just think Coachella, but for country music.
Yes.
Like it's the exact same thing. It's run by the same people. It's just as big. It's
And that festival was in California, and it was there. It was there that I fell in love with California even more than I already had before. And I decided that I was going to move here. And I always say that God kind of,
you're like, you are the pinnacle, like to everybody there and to everybody around you, like that manifestation of on that stage, like you're the pinnacle of quote unquote success. And you're dead broke, hustling at Uber, eating the nut butter as your meals 3 days, 3 times a day, just to be able, because that's all you could afford.
It was the trippiest time in my life. And, but honestly, it was, looking back, it's like the most amazing, because it was my, you know, what people like to call probably an ego death, you know? And yeah. So it was from that point on, oh, this is a long story I'm trying to make short, but, it was from that point when I moved to California, everything was broken down. I got a waitressing job here and I was so grateful for that job. Oh my God. And I just started, I had nothing and I didn't know where to begin. I was at a new city and I ended up, I had this one last tour that brought me a little bit of money. And with that money, I bought myself a paddleboard to start paddling out into the ocean to get over my fear of the ocean. I was like, if I can accomplish this dream or this fear, I can accomplish my fear of all of this stuff that's happening and just move on with my life. And it was there that I started writing songs about my healing and about new stuff. Like it was just, I was writing about this transition. And one of those songs was called Earthquake. And it was about everything falling down. All my programs, all my conditionings, all of the stuff was just breaking down, my ego. And basically like I'm in an earthquake. I'm in an earth shattering moment where I have to now rebuild. And I have. So that's what that that whole EP is about, is all of that that I just talked about, basically me kind of in the thick of that.
That's incredible and inspiring.
I don't know.
I can tell you it is. Like I'll know for you. I mean, it makes total sense. And also like kudos to you, writer, like great naming of the album. Like that's a perfect name of a song and like Earthquake. Right? Yeah. Because as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh, like she lived through a metaphorical earthquake in her life.
Yeah.
And then moved to Southern California, which ironically, literally is the home of earthquakes. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is pretty clever on the naming of this song, but also like, so like from deep inside you. And then from that point forward, it's been this 10, 12 year journey of metamorphosis, like a butterfly, right? Coming out of the caterpillar and yet like this latter stage, this almost kind of second half of this last decade has found you creating and having life find you, but found you creating the life that still allows you to articulate your feelings and your thoughts and your perspective on the world through your music, which was what you've been doing since you were a little girl, right? But also like create a whole new version of yourself around yourself. Like, so new team, new people, like those people didn't fit. Nothing wrong with those people. It's just that they were around you, building you up to be the next Miranda Lambert, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that's the track they were on, like in their lives and their careers. Right. And that's because they want to be on a team of people that do that.
And
so it's not that they're bad, or some of them might have been, but it's not bad, good, or indifferent, right? It's not even a judgment statement. It's just you found yourself and you're like, oh, I'm not surrounded by like people who get me anymore because I'm different than I was when they met me, which isn't even their fault. Like I'm becoming the butterfly version of myself.
Yes. And I feel like I finally, for so long, I was really trying so hard to please everybody else and to be whatever they wanted me to be. And like, I have no hard feelings at all. Like you said, it's nobody else's fault, but I just, all of this happened for me to step into something so much deeper than I ever could have imagined. And it was just the truth of me, you know, and really the truth of all of us. Like, I just feel like when we step into that, we're just creative, honest, authentic, joyful, more peaceful, loving beings. And I think that's the truth of who we all are, you know?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. There's so much uniqueness that comes from each individual form of that, but it's still all the same beautiful energy. And I think that when we try to be other things and we try to really follow other people's journeys, we just separate ourselves from that beautiful energy to just be able to flow through us and create uniquely through us. And so that's what I kind of started to do. And it just felt way more honest. And I just felt way more happy.
Yeah. And yet you're also like savvy enough in the business of music, of your career, to see through. Like, you're not just like women, like hoping a dream. Like, I don't know, maybe yes. It'll work out. Maybe I'm just going to be happy, but I don't know if I'm ever going to make any money at this anymore. Like, yeah. you're smart and savvy enough to see your way through, to see that you can build a living around this, but your way.
Exactly. I wanted to do it my way. That was very, yeah. very important to me, was to be able to do it my way. And honestly, to be honest with you, Rob, I didn't always see the ways that I was going to make money and do this. Like, it was very unclear for a really long time. And until I started to embrace, like I said, kind of at the beginning of just like, I've always loved yoga. I've always been so into, honestly, that dream that I had, that really unifying dream that I had, really led me back into yoga. Yoga in Sanskrit means unity. And so it really brought me back into just the practice of yoga and the breath work, and really kind of digging into that subtle energy for me. And then I realized, like, oh, I don't just have to be like a musician. Like, I can actually teach yoga, and I can bring this yoga into my music, and I like all of these things that I love to do, my spiritual side, yeah. my music and my yoga practice can actually all come together and be something that I can do and offer people. Yeah. And that was so freeing to me, because I think that if I stepped out of anything outside of music, I'm a failure. Because that's what I sought out to do, and it all came crashing down. And so I felt like I had to, for a really long time, be like, no, I'm only a musician, and I'm still just going to be an artist, and I have to do that. Blah, blah, blah. And it was really freeing for me to be like, no, actually, I love a lot of different things, and I can incorporate a lot of different things into my music. Music isn't just who I am.
Right. That's awesome.
That was really freeing.
I was going to say, no kidding. Now, like, the context behind seeing that post of yours from the beach that day, kind of explaining like, okay, there's this next new chapter about to come, and
yeah.
I'm going to take country coal and I'm going to put it over here on this other page. And then I'm not taking anything away from all of you who've been so kind to love things that I created, but
yeah.
like, I'm going to rearrange the living room a little bit, and I'm going to make it more of a place from which I can create things that are more aligned with who I am today and who I think I want to be in the next chapter of my life.
In the future. Exactly. And it's still hilarious to me because I moved everything to Country Coal. It's like this beautiful full circle moment, because when I used to go play at fairs and festivals, every once in a while, you'd get that one announcer that would announce me as Country Coal because they would read my name wrong, because country.
Right, and literally. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes.
And so they'd be like, introducing Country Coal. And I thought it was hilarious. And now I'm like, okay, my old country music's now going to live on a page called Country Coal. And it's just going to be hilarious and wonderful. And it just right. is such a joyous part of my life that I still can share, and it doesn't have to go away. I don't have to erase that chapter. I can embrace right. it and just love it. And I'm really happy that I did that. Yeah.
We could do a whole separate podcast on your trip to India, but we would be remiss if we didn't touch it a little bit, right? So you had never been, you have now been, you took a trip in the last couple of years here, and why? Tell us why. Tell everybody why. And then tell us like what it did to you when you got there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I, after COVID and all of that other stuff that happened, it was like 2017 through the COVID stuff was like really intense. Obviously I just explained all that to you. And then COVID hit, and it was just like, oh my gosh, everybody's finding themselves and figuring out new things. I actually went through a little bit of a kind of depression. And
sure.
was really struggling with like, well, who am I now? Am I a failure? What's going on? I really was getting back into yoga again, because I used to do it a lot in Nashville, but I started really getting into it again. And there was a yoga teacher training at the place that I was taking yoga from. And I had always wanted to go, after I read the books, The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East that I told you about, I had always wanted to study over there. And when they offered this teacher training, I was like, gosh, I feel like maybe I should do this. Like, I feel called to this, but I felt called to do it in India. And so randomly I connected with a friend who I hadn't spoken to since high school. It just is crazy how the timing added up. And she was like, wait, you want to go study in India? I know this school. That's amazing. You should go there. I found it. This was like in February. I ended up showing up there in April and doing it. Like I literally, it took me 2 months. So I went in 2022 and started studying there. It changed my life. Like we think yoga is something totally different here in the West than what it is. It's like I said, it means unity and it's about really merging our ego consciousness with the cosmic consciousness and merging those two, which if you just heard my story, made it make a lot of sense because, you know, I had this dream, I had this breaking down of my ego, and then I had this experience of like more fulfilling energy that was starting to come. And that was that cosmic energy that was starting to really start to just move through me that I'm starting to embrace more and more. I think we all are doing that. That's the process of evolution and growth. But yeah, so I went in 2022, changed my life completely, and ended up going back in 2023, this year in April. And I got my 500-hour yoga teacher training. I was there for 2 months each. So 1 month in 2022, 1 month 2023. And I'm going back in January to finish. I'm going to be a Himalayan yoga master teacher at the end of that. So I'll be leaving for that in about a week and a half.
Do we have many Himalayan yoga teacher certified instructors here in Los Angeles?
Like, I don't know, but I'll be one. Yeah,
you will be one of them. Exactly. You'll be the, I mean, like you've made this a part of your life. Like I think if I picked it up earlier today, like tonight you're hosting like a sound healing and like a session tonight. So, I mean, this is part of your existence now, right? This isn't just some fanciful like athletics hobby or something.
No, and it's wonderful. Like I'm leading people. Like my goal in every one of my classes is to lead people, you know, just to be able to, like I'm not saying that I hate this. I hate when teachers act like they're healed or they're like, I'm in the process of this too. Like it's just the process of us all moving towards liberation and freeing our energy. And so I've been doing that through these practices that I've learned that are so deep and so they work in such a beautiful way, but I also incorporate my voice and I sing in all of my classes and I sing mantra or I sing, you know, over people as they're kind of going through their own healing process. And it just has been so fulfilling for me in so many ways. And so a lot of those songs that I've been singing in my class, I'm actually going to be releasing some of those as well, which is really, really a full circle moment.
Right. Because again, like you fundamentally, we talked before about like particular harmony, like you specifically believe, or science has probably proven this to be true, that like music actually heals.
Yeah.
Like and music has like an energetic power over us, just like we used to say in the fables, right? Like music tames totally. The wild beast or something like that, right?
Well, I think it's because in my belief, and this is just me speaking out of what I've experienced, like I just think that music is what we are. And like, I mean, I my dad always introduced me into quantum physics at an early age. And I have this really nerdy love for quantum physics. And, you know, one of the things that I learned, it's all vibration. Everything is vibrational energy and at the heart of it all. And so, and a lot of the stuff that I learned in India is around sound and vibration. And so I think it's really important. And I think the reason that we do love it so much is because it does strike that chord. It does bring us back to who we are. So yeah. I think it's incredibly healing.
Which every, again, young, let's call it traditional entrepreneur or entrepreneur from certain industries on the business side of life can identify with, because they're all seeking out all these different mechanisms and tools and ways to try and heal themselves as they go through their own like self-created stressors or externally created stressors and fears and anxieties of creating anything, right? So while this is going on, to finish up here, in the portfolio approach to your life and your career that you now have, while all this is going on and you're going to be making the trip back to India, and tonight you're doing your sound healing, you're releasing a new song.
I am. Yes, I am.
Singer-songwriter Courtney Cole is releasing a new song. Should we tease that? Can we tell them what it is or what it's about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the song's called Get Out of My Way. And it sounds like a really mean title, but it's not at all. The whole song is about, you know, I've got all this potential. I've got all this stuff that I feel like I can do. And I feel like I'm afraid of this potential. And if I could just get out of my way, what could I accomplish?
Oh, nice.
That's been kind of a theme in so much of this for me, and in all of the letting go of all the stuff in my life has been just about, instead of standing so firm in my beliefs and in my conditionings and in my trauma or whatever you want to call it, like if I could just move all of that stuff aside, or actually move through it, walk through all that stuff and ask myself questions and realize how I'm getting in my own way. There's so much liberation and freedom that comes with just being aware of it and then just letting it go and then actually stepping into the full potential of who I am.
That's awesome. What a way to kick off the new year. Like, let's get everything that is getting in our way, that is blocking us, including ourselves and our own shortcomings, our own lack of self-belief, our own foundations. Like, let's get all that out of the way as best we can, because there's literally unlimited potential ahead of us if we just allow ourselves to see that. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask you to condense down all this amazing wisdom into just three pieces of advice that we can share with our listeners. I don't care if who you're speaking to. You could speak to creatives like yourself. You could speak to just human beings. You could speak to business people. But let's condense down three pieces of advice going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, I would say hone your craft for sure. I would say find the unity in the situation. In the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali, he said, establish yoga or establish unity and then act. And I love that, because when you do that, you are speaking to so many, you're speaking to everyone and you're equalizing everyone. And I think that's beautiful. And then the third would be get out of your own way.
Oh, man, if you didn't give that as the third, I was going to just interrupt you and give it as the third. That was the most obvious progression to a third piece of advice ever, right? That is incredible. It's been a joy. I occasionally have these conversations with people that I know, but I've not spent time with in person. And I'm batting 1,000, because every one of them winds up being just amazingly joyful. And it cements the fact that I need to come spend more time on the West Side, or when you're on the other side of town, you need to come up and we need to go for a walk or a hike or a coffee or something like that, because your energy is just infectious.
Oh, thank you. I love that.
Your sense of found purposefulness, you weren't born with it and you have worked at it. Just the journey is inspiring. And I know everybody's going to take away that just finding their purpose. And then, as you say, like kind of honing your craft, no matter what it is you're doing, right? Just put in the work to be good at it. And I think the lesson that I heard throughout the conversation today was like asking yourself those uncomfortable questions, or asking yourself those tough questions to give yourself the chance to like maybe answer them in ways that didn't fit the narrative of everybody, how you were raised or how you were brought up or how you were taught your industry, or right. It sometimes it may lead you back to some of those places, and that's great. That's great affirmation. Sometimes it may just disprove a lot of that and free you of it. Liberation seems to be another big theme, which is incredible. So how do folks connect with you, find you, find your music? So how do we find you across the socials?
Yeah. So I'm most active probably on my Instagram at the Courtney Cole. You also can find me at the Love Freak, FREQ _. That's kind of like my little yoga platform. And then what else? Oh, and then you can stream the song. Obviously, it's going to be on Spotify, Apple Music, and you can download it on iTunes. It should be on Amazon Music and all of that too, wherever you stream and listen to your music.
That's awesome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rob.
As always, we thank you so much for listening. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles and produced by Deanna Bernal in Mexico City. You can always find, like, follow, subscribe, and share our show via any popular podcasting platform, as well as find us on social media at Mentors Today. And if you'd like to connect with our host, you can find Rob at I Am Rob Ryan on just about any social media platform. Gracias, and thank you.